skinny black kid and chunky red-headed Irishman. But they're both wearing Air Force blue, and that's what matters. Placing a hand on each of their shoulders, Colonel Christopher said, just loud enough for them to hear her over the drone of the engines, "You heard the Major and me hollering at each other." O'Banion shrugged, and Sharman nodded solemnly. "That was a difference of opinion between the two of us. It's all straightened out now. And forgotten, understand?" Sharman blinked several times before saying, "Yes, ma'am, forgotten." O'Banion broke into a lazy grin. "I got you, Colonel. No problemo." Christopher smiled down at the two of them. "Good. Now where the hell is that tanker?" Harry saw that Monk was sitting beside Taki at the battle management station. There were four consoles lining one curving bulkhead of the compartment. In a real battle situation, four Air Force blue-suiters would be working battle management with two backups behind them. For this flight, which started out as a routine test mission, Taki had the station all to herself. Seeing the two of them talking together, grins on their faces, gave Harry a pang of apprehension. Are they both in on it? Are they working together? Then he heard Delaney finishing one of his stories. "So the highway patrolman sees the guy's too drunk to drive, and he asks him, 'Do you realize that your wife fell out of your car three blocks down the street?' And the driver, he's Irish, he says, 'Thanks be to God, I thought I was going deaf.'" Monk hooted at his own joke, and Taki laughed politely. Harry had heard the story before, and besides, he was in no mood for laughter. But he got a sudden idea. "Monk, I need to check out the ranging laser with you." Delaney frowned up at him. "Again?" "Again," said Harry. "When that tanker gets here, we've got to test the ranger on it." Pushing himself up from the bucket seat, Delaney grumbled, "You're taking this El Jefe crap too damn serious, Harry." "Maybe," Harry agreed. "But let's make certain the laser's ready to ping the tanker." Once they were in the beam control section, Harry plucked at Delaney's sleeve. "Monk, I've got an idea about how to find out who dismantled the lens assembly." Delaney gave him a dubious look. "If we can find the missing assembly, there's probably fingerprints on it," Harry said. "Once we get back to Elmendorf, we can get the air police to check him out." Delaney's expression phased from dubious to thoughtful. "Geez, Harry, my prints are all over that chunk of glass." Nodding, Harry said, "Yeah, sure. But if there's somebody else's prints on it, too, then that somebody must be the guy who took it." "Maybe," Delaney said slowly. "Gotta be," said Harry, convincing himself as he spoke. Delaney shook his head. "You're turning into a friggin' Sherlock Holmes, pal." Harry accepted it as a compliment, thinking, if Monk took the assembly, he knows there's nobody else's prints on it. He'll go back to where he stashed it and wipe it down, clean off any fingerprints on it. But then he thought, maybe he was smart enough to wipe it down before he stashed it in the lab. Maybe I'm not a Sherlock Holmes after all. And he realized that Monk was only one possible culprit out of four. So what do I do now, he wondered. "Message from the tanker," O'Banion sang out. "Pipe it to me," said Karen Christopher. "Able One, this is your friendly flying gas station. Sorry we're late." "Better late than never," Colonel Christopher said happily into her lip mic. "Where are you?"
3 miles behind you and 4,000 feet below. We're coming up as fast as we can."
Kaufman twisted.